Well, can you open your Bible again, please, at the chapter that was read earlier in our service? That is Genesis chapter 13, the book of Genesis, and chapter 13. And before I highlight my text, can we bow in prayer and briefly seek the blessing and the help of the Lord upon the preaching of His Word? Let's all pray. Our gracious and our eternal Father, we thank Thee again for the great opportunity that Thou hast given to us to open up Thy Word, to see and to read and to learn for ourselves. Oh, the great purpose and plan of our God. We do pray most earnestly that now Thou will come and grant to this Thy servant help, help from on high, help of Thy Spirit. Oh God, as has been prayed, endue me with power from on high. Fill me now with Thy Spirit. Oh, I ask, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Come, Lord, minister to us all. These things we humbly pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You'll find our text this morning here in Genesis 13 and the verses 14 through to 17. I entitle my message today, A Promising Encounter with the Lord. And that encounter is that one which Abram had here with the Lord in this 13th chapter of Genesis. And I want you to note that the Holy Spirit draws our attention to the time and to the circumstances when the Lord spoke unto Abram. You will see there in the verse 14, And the Lord said unto Abram, After that. You must note the time and the circumstances. After that. After what? Well, it was after Abram's troubles with Lot. It was after Lot separated himself from the godly Abram. Oh, here were two men, as you well know, whom God had prospered and the Lord had blessed richly and greatly. You will see that stated concerning Abram there in the verse 2 of Genesis 13. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And then in verse 5 concerning Lot, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, and they could not dwell together. And sadly, there developed tension and strife between the herdmen of Lot and the herdmen of Abram. And as a consequence of that fallout, there is the separation between Abram and Lot. And that's the scene. That's the time. This is the occasion when the Lord met with Abram. And we want to look today at what happened after Lot separated from Abram. So let us take time, a little time today, to note what happened to Abram on this occasion. And the first thing I want you simply to note with me this morning is this. Abram received a new visitation from the Lord. This visitation came to him, as we have already noted, after Lot separated from him. Lot deserted Abram at this particular time. We have read that in the verse 14. The Lord said unto Abram after that Lot was separated from him. Abram, however, was not left alone. The Lord was with him. The Lord, in a very special way, came and visited with Abram. Oh, he lost the company of Lot. But he did not lose the company of the Lord. The Lord came to him. He had a visitation on this occasion from the Lord, a new visitation. And I can stress that it is a due visitation, because the Lord had visited Abram and again in a special way in the past. For Genesis 12 in the verse 1 records an earlier visitation from the Lord to this man. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. So here is a new visitation from the Lord. We are not told the manner of this divine visitation, whether it was by an angel or a vision or in a dream, but it was most certainly a divine visitation, a visitation of the Lord to Abram. And how gracious, this is what we want to think of at this moment, how gracious is the Lord, especially on such an occasion as this, with the loss of a companion, at this time of stress and strain, even within the family, the Lord was pleased to come and to visit Abram. Have you, Christian, not found it also to be the same? That when you have experienced loss, and perhaps it has been the loss of a spouse, the loss of a mother or a father, perhaps by death, or even if it is in one of those sad occasions when strife has caused a separation and a division, even perhaps within the family, has it not been even on such occasions that you, a child of God, have found the Lord to come and to visit you again? He is gracious, and he was that to Abram on this occasion. Though the Apostle Paul certainly knew what Abraham here experienced and enjoyed. You see, there was a time near the end of the life of the Apostle Paul, we are told, a testing time. Oh, it was a time of deep and great affliction. A time, Paul records for us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, when he stood there in trial in a needy hour, a most testing time, that he was forsaken by his fellows. But yet he was able to speak and to put it on eternal record that on such a time and in such trying circumstances, the Lord stood with him. He had a visitation from the Lord. And I read you those words of the apostle in 2 Timothy 4, verses 16 and 17. Here's what he tells us. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. He could have been bitter. Oh, he could have there found fault, but no, the apostle was forgiving. Listen to what else he went on to say. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. The Lord visited me. He didn't leave me alone. He came nigh and he put strength and succor into my soul. Men and women, this is the great God that we have. A God who is pleased in his grace and his mercy to come to us in our times of our deepest and greatest needs. When did Abram receive this visitation from the Lord? It was not only after Lot separated from him, but I want you also at least to mark that it was after Abram himself got back on the right track and on the right path. You see, Abram, under the pressure of his circumstances, in particular of the famine that he experienced there in the land of Canaan, went down into Egypt, we are told. It was a path, yes, that evaded one difficulty, but which led to others and created other problems. Because it led to Abram and Sarah lying. Genesis 13 and the verse 1, we have already noted in our Bible reading. Is Abram back on the right path again, in the right place again, back in the land of Israel? And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And here is Abram, and he's back on the right track again. And you will see there, he is right in his worship, and he's right in the way and in the path that he should have been traveling. That it was the will of God. And you know, if you and I are really to know divine visitation, visits from heaven, visits from our Lord, then how essential and important it is that our worship is right and our walk is right. And Abram, yes, got right in his worship with God, for the verse 4 tells us there that it was, that he came unto the place of the altar where he had made there at the first, which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And if you want to know the visitation of God in your soul, then how important it is for you and for me to be right with the Lord, to be in the right place, to be doing the will of God, to be where he would have us to be. So Abram, we've noted, received a new visitation. But I want you in the second place to note that Abram received a new communication. The verse 14 tells us that clearly. And the Lord said, unto Abram, the Lord spoke unto Abram. Communication with Lot had been broken. That had ended. But not communication with the Lord. And I say this to you today, that whatever our circumstances, have your ear always turned to hear from God. For the Lord has always something to say to you. He has always a word for you. Particularly, I would add, when your path, like Abram's was on this occasion, a trying one, a difficult one. I have said to my own congregation on different occasions that when you face trial, and many are the afflictions of the righteous, we're well aware of that. You know, we should, all other things being equal, I know there are always exceptional circumstances and exceptions, but we should ever endeavor, particularly in our trying times, to get out to the house of God, that we might listen for a word from the Lord. That we might hear, what will the Lord say to me today? What word has he for me? I pray that is why you have come to God's house. That we're all gathered here to hear what will the Lord say. Because the Lord still speaks today. He speaks through his word. This is how he communicates his mind and his will to you. This is how you will know the wisdom of God. In your troubles, in your trials, child of God, spend time in your Bible. Spend time listening out for a word from God. Because you know the Bible tells us that God speaketh once, yea, twice, but man perceiveth it not. There are times God speaks to us. There are times you come to his house and he's got a word right for you and you can miss it, and I can miss it. Come with a listening ear. And I believe if you come with an ear that desires to hear a word from God, you will hear his voice. Oh, the psalmist prayed in Psalm 143 in the verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. There was a man in communion with God, and his heart cried out for a word from God. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. And you know, there's no better way to begin the day than by having communication with the Lord. We should take time. Some of us are, I would say, more night owls than morning people. Some are bright and in the morning, and others, well, not so bright. But we should ever endeavor that we start our day and give it some time to communing with the Lord, to hearing from Him. This is what the psalmist desired. This is what we should desire. We should ever come to His Word looking for a fresh communication from the Lord. What a way to start the day than to begin it with a new and a fresh communion and communication with the Lord. What comforting words these were to Abram on this occasion. How good to begin the day with God. Some of you, I know in this congregation, will remember many years ago, Dr. Paisley brought out a series of tapes entitled Begin the Day with God. I remember getting those tapes. I think there was an evening one as well, but I remember every morning there, the old cassette recorder, and you pressed it on for how many minutes the talk was till the beep came, and that was a little bit to begin your day with, and it was profitable, and I learned a lot. Hearing from God. I trust that already you have heard from God today. Oh, what a communication Abram received here. Fellowship with Lot, as I said, was broken, but communion with the Lord was blessed. And this communication from the Lord, Abram had one of the greatest delights of his soul. You know, there's no greater experience, no greater blessing than knowing sweet fellowship and communion with the Lord and communication from the Lord. The Lord speaking to us from His Word. What a blessing. The psalmist had it. He spoke of it in Psalm 119 and the verse 103 when he said, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." We have two grandchildren now. Abigail is but 2 years old, but I know and have observed this, that when her mummy comes and sets before her a plate of food that she likes, she goes, that's nice. I will enjoy that. Have you ever had that in the spiritual sense? I know you've no doubt had it in the physical sense. You've got food, and while you may not just have said it in those words, in that way, you said, "Oh, that's good." Have you had it spiritually? Have you come to God's Word? Is God's book to you a sweet book? You come and you know the Lord has spoken. It's been good to my soul. My soul has been fed as you've come to it yourself in your own home. You said, "This is good." As you've left the house of God, you've known the Lord has spoken to your heart, and you say, "Aye, thy word is sweet unto my taste, and I've been fed from the Lord." Oh, Abram. Communication. I pray today that the Lord will speak to you, to everyone. I do pray that. That it'll not just be a matter of I'll come in here and I've listened to Him and that's it. No, I pray and I have prayed and I pray, I continue to pray. The Lord will speak to you today. Not only had Abram received a new visitation and a new communication, but you will see that he also received a new revelation. You see, in this new communication, the Lord revealed to Abram something that he had not seen before. He had a new revelation. It was not just the case that the Lord spoke again to Abram. That would have been a blessing. But the Lord revealed something to Abram that he had previously promised. You see, the Lord had previously promised to Abram while he was still in the land of the Chaldees that he would show him a land. We've heard it mentioned already, a promised land, the promised land. That's what the Lord said to Abram earlier there in Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. We're all familiar with what Hebrews 11:8 says concerning Abram, how that he went out not knowing whither he went. Didn't know where the land was, where he was going to. But he went out in obedience. He went out in faith. But now, the Lord is showing to Abram, showing or revealing to him now the land itself. That's what Genesis 13, even verse 14, look at what the Lord says to him there. Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. Oh, here's a new revelation. This is the land. This is the country, Abram, that I promised to you and to thy people. There is, of course, in our world today, a difference of opinion among some as to whom the promised land belongs, to whom the land of Canaan belongs. Is it the right of the Jew or of the Palestinian? Well, I'm sure all in this congregation are well versed in this bit of biblical doctrine and teaching. It is the Jews, by divine right and by divine promise. Oh, what a revelation this was from the Lord to Abram. It was a progressive revelation. You see, God's word is a progressive revelation. As we go through our Bible, the Lord reveals more and more of his purpose and his plan. And here, he is doing that exact thing to Abram. He told him about the land. He promised him the land. And now, he is actually showing him the land. So there's a progressive revelation. Let's think of this revelation to Abram in its proper biblical context. This is something that is always essential in our right understanding of any of the scriptures, of all of the scriptures. We read just a few verses earlier of Lot lifting up his eyes and beholding all the plain of Jordan there in the verse 10. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as they comest unto Zoar. Now there's a contrast between what Lot saw and what Abram saw. You see, Lot walked by sight. As a consequence, he was short-sighted. Oh, Lot could see the economics and the financial benefit of moving his tent and his flocks into the plain and going in a direction of Sodom. Why? Because it tells us there, as we have read, it was well watered everywhere. You know what happens when you get a lot of rain the grass grows well. You're a farmer, you'll know that. If you've got your garden, you'll know that, how often you've got to cut the lawns. And Lot recognized this. Look at all the water there, because there's only really two things that cows and sheep and goats need, grass and water. And he said, my flocks will do well. I'll make a lot of money here. I will prosper here. And he walked by sight. He could see, yes, the economics in it. He could see the financial benefit in going there, though it was out of the will of God. There's a contrast. Abraham, or, well, he was still Abram. We're more familiar with him as Abraham, and we hard to just keep the earlier name always in mind. But Abram, on the other hand, left it all before the Lord. And he walked by faith. He left, as you know, the first choice to Lot himself. And what did Abram get? Well, he got all the land of Canaan. The Lord emphasizes that in that 15th verse. I don't want to keep just rereading these verses, but they're written and recorded for our learning. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. For all the land. In fact, Abram received a revelation from the Lord that stretched far out into the future. Lot, I said, was short-sighted. He could just see the short-term benefit and forgot the longer term. But here, Abram is blessed of the Lord and blessed right out into the future. There's an application I think we could even make just for you, child of God. Do you ever take time to view with the eye of faith the spiritual and the eternal inheritance that the Lord has promised to you? No, the Lord has said through Peter that he has there for his people an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I can never, ever get over that verse. That the Lord has a place in heaven with my name on it. I can never get over the wonder of it. But I know by the grace of God and by the word of God and the witness of the Spirit of God in my heart that the Lord has reserved a spiritual inheritance for me with the saints in glory. I'm sure of that. Are you? Oh, Abram received a new revelation. And then I finish with this. Abram received new compensation. What did Lot get? Well, we've already noted Lot got a grassy plain. What did Abram get? He got the whole country. Got the whole country. He let Lot have his choice, as I've said, but Abram didn't lose out. I want to emphasize that. He walked in obedience. I believe he walked in upon principle, not on the basis of pragmatism, as Lot himself did. And Abram wasn't a loser. Lot was a loser. You see, the Lord more than compensated Abram. The Lord gave him the entire land. And we've noted that in these verses before us this morning. They show us how the Lord, yes, compensated or rewarded Abram. And the lesson set before us is this. No man, no woman is ever a loser for walking by faith and in obedience to the Lord. Yes, there are consequences of being principled. There are consequences in being obedient and faithful to the Lord and walking in His ways, but you'll never be a loser. You might, yes, miss out on some things, but in the end of the day, in the true, in the highest sense, you'll never lose out with God, with being obedient to the Lord, because the Lord will compensate. Oh, we know later on in our Bible, when we come to the book of Exodus, of the cruel decree of Pharaoh that the Israelite midwives should kill all the male babies, Exodus 1 and 16. But you know that they refused. They refused to carry out the murderous plans and the legislation that Pharaoh had laid down. You know what? God honored those women. It says the Lord built them houses, compensated. The lesson I leave with you as I close is this. Men and women, young people, by the grace of God and by the resolve that He gives to you, endeavor ever to be faithful and true to the Lord, for you'll never lose out. You'll never lose out. The Lord is no man's debtor. We're all more than familiar, I'm sure, with 1 Samuel 2 and 30. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, saith the Lord, for them that honor me, I will honor. He did it with Abram. He did it with others throughout the Scriptures. And He'll do it with you. I pray that each one of us might indeed know regularly visitations from the Lord, that we might hear Him commune with us, that we might learn more of His revelation, of His will to us, understand more of His truth. And the glory of it all is this: the Lord will even compensate and reward us for our obedience to Him, undeserving though we are. May God bless His truth to all our hearts.